You have a line to Wisconsin Department of Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr here in the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The department started a phased approach 4 months ago to test all inmates for COVID-19. And since March, the state's dashboard shows an upward progression of positive tests. There are 231 active positive cases at the state's 37 correctional facilities. More than 2,000 inmates are in quarantine. Those figures were updated yesterday on the corrections testing dashboard. How do you want to see the Department of Corrections addressing COVID at its facilities? Is your loved one incarcerated? What are they saying about conditions? We're at 800-642-1234. Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate, and good morning to all your listeners.
Well, let's start with these active positive cases that are trending upward, 231 now. What is your department doing to help contain the spread of this outbreak?
Well, you know, Kate, we're doing the things that we have been doing since the start of the pandemic. We activated our Emergency Operations Command Center in the spring to respond to this crisis, and our EOC has coordinated our agency's response, and that team's done a fantastic job. In addition, we've taken a lot of precautions, including cleaning protocol changes, decreased movement of persons in our care, although because of the pandemic, we've had to suspend some of our programming and switch from in-person visitation to Zoom visitation, for instance, which has helped our persons in our care stay in contact with their loved ones. And the mass testing and in combination with the other testing regimens that we have in place, along with quarantining and isolation, that has been working pretty well for us. If you look at, our rate of positive cases in our system in the state of Wisconsin when compared to other states in the Midwest, we're doing very, very well.
How does sending an inmate into isolation for COVID, how is that different than sending them into solitary confinement, which is a form of punishment in correctional facilities?
Well, because we try to provide as many of the normal activities as much as possible when we move people from general population into quarantine and isolation. Now, because of the nature of their illness, in some of our facilities, they have to, when we transfer folks, they need to go to what is called a wet cell, a location that has bathroom facilities and a sink and running water. In some of our facilities where there is, where we primarily operate in a dormitory style, the only places available are either in the infirmary or in isolation type settings in order to isolate and quarantine people from the general population. So, it's something that we, reluctantly do, but it is a matter of what types of spaces are available for us to utilize.
So it's basically based on the facility construction as to how you go about quarantining and isolating, because it may not be that you have many options due to the facility itself?
That's right. Due to the operation and structure and bed assignments and design of the facility.
How often are inmates being tested?
Right now, we have a mass testing regimen that we have put together with the assistance of the National Guard and DHS that has a schedule of when we are going to do rounds of mass testing at any one of our facilities. Now, that being said, whenever we see that there's an outbreak occurring at any one specific facility, we redirect that testing activity to that facility to try to identify those who are positive as soon as possible so that we can quarantine and isolate them so that we can contain the virus as quickly as possible. Additionally, anybody who is symptomatic at any one of our facilities, they're tested and then quarantined and isolated in order for us to, again, mitigate the spread of the virus.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr about COVID-19 in our state correctional facilities, taking your questions, your situation. Do you live in a county where a juvenile detention center is set to be established? How do you feel about that? What do you think about how the Department of Corrections is addressing COVID-19 at its facilities? We're at 800-642-1234. Secretary Carr, let's go to Green Bay Correctional Institute, which has hundreds of positive tests for COVID among inmates. What is going on there?
Well, you know, again, when I talked about specific facilities that could have a spike, Green Bay Correctional did have a spike about 3 weeks ago. And at one point, we identified as many as 270 or so individuals out of, I think, about 1,100 that were tested positive, but they were all confined to one specific location in the facility. Now, that being said, today, well, and you saw the numbers, they're on our website, you know, Green Bay has a total of 37 folks who have tested positive for COVID-19. So that's a drastic reduction from where we were 2 to 3 weeks ago.
How important is it for you to have the National Guard help you in getting these specimens collected?
Our partnership with the National Guard is really a godsend. It's very important to us in order for us to have the resources to perform mass testing on the scale that it's being performed. So our relationship with the National Guard has never been better, and I thank General Mapp every chance I get for, you know, the help that he's provided the Department of Corrections during this pandemic.
You know, prison overcrowding is a problem here in our state. It's a problem nationwide. How do you prevent the spread of COVID when our correctional facilities are over capacity in the first place?
You know, it's not easy. But, you know, I think that, first of all, you have to have smart, dedicated staff that work hard every day to try to do their best to keep the persons in our care and their coworkers safe. You know, we do testing of our staff as they report to work, temperature testing, and then assessments when they walk in the door at our facilities. We routinely test the staff and persons in our care. You know, we, like I said, we isolate and quarantine when it's appropriate, and we're very proactive in that regard. And I think that we've been doing a really good job at mitigating the spread of the virus. When I look at what is happening in other systems like ours all around the country.
We have Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr as we check in on how facilities are managing the spread of COVID-19. Do you work at a correctional facility? What precautions are you seeing being taken? Do you live near a state prison? Do you worry about COVID-19 cases there? Join in with your questions, your experiences, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Secretary Kevin Carr here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're discussing developments within the Corrections Department and efforts to limit the spread of COVID-19. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin National Guard has assisted in testing collection across the state, including at correctional facilities. As we've been talking about this week, Guard members are operating collection sites at Chippewa Valley, Oak Hill, Oregon, Thompson, and Racine correctional facilities, as well as Grow Academy Youth Facility. What do you want to know about testing, quarantine, and conditions inside facilities? Join in at 800-642-1234. We have Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr, who stays with us. Let's take a call now. Jen is joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
So I have a son who is in the correctional institution, and I've been very happy with what I've heard of the response so far, and for keeping him safe. But I do know that in his institution, there have been spikes where they've been put in isolation and taken back out. And he has a coexisting mental health condition. And when this is all going on, I can see his mental health struggles starting to happen. And there have been times when social workers haven't been available due to the quarantine. I'm just wondering what is being done to help support the mental health of many of our inmates during this.
Well, thanks for your question, Jen. And I can certainly tell you that those who suffer from mental illness who are in custody are of utmost importance to our administration, and we pay a lot of attention to their needs. Of course, during the pandemic, some of our resources have been strained, but we're doing everything that we can to provide more mental health services. In fact, one of the things that we have taken advantage of is the use of technology. And we're where we do have just a, and I'm just going to be honest with you, you know, there is a shortage of, there's a number of vacancies in the mental health field in the Department of Corrections. It's difficult to recruit psychiatrists and psychologists to work for DOC for a number of reasons, because the market is shrinking and the demand is extremely high all over the state. But we are looking to use telemedicine in a way that will provide access to mental health resources and counseling and what have you all over the state. And we've already started implementing that, and we hope to expand that effort as we move forward.
Where have you started it mostly? Have you been focused on particular facilities for telehealth?
No. Well, there have been a number of facilities, and I can't name them off the top of my head for you today, that have already been using telehealth. But I can tell you that just like with using Zoom as a technological resource to provide visiting opportunities to the persons in our care as opposed to in-person visiting, we've also done that telehealth and used technology in our Department of Community Corrections and in our Division of Adult Institutions in order to make the availability of medical resources greater.
Secretary Carr, what is your policy on mask wearing inside these correctional facilities?
Well, currently, you know, when it comes to wearing masks, all of our staff are required to wear masks when they get on the premises and they enter the building. That is just a fact. Now, the persons in our care are encouraged to wear a mask at all times when they are not in their private sleeping quarters.
How much compliance are you seeing?
Pardon?
How much compliance are you getting among your staff? And are inmates wearing masks when they are in groups?
Yes, they are. For the most part, I have not heard of any instances where there was a great deal of noncompliance in either the category of staff or persons in our care.
COVID-19, Secretary, has disproportionately affected communities of color. The Department of Corrections does not currently display the demographic data of people who have contracted COVID in your facilities. Why not disclose that data?
Well, that's an interesting idea. And, I'm not a person that's afraid to say, I don't know. I don't know why we don't display the demographic data about race as it breaks down to who's positive and who isn't. But that's something we'll take a look at.
We're talking with the Secretary of the Department of Corrections, Kevin Carr, getting your questions and insights. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Secretary Carr, let's look at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake here for a moment. We're seeing the lowest number of youth inmates in years. What is this due to? Because youth were last checked into these facilities, I understand, in late March.
Could you repeat that question, Kate?
Sure. I want to talk about Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, which is seeing their lowest number of youth inmates in years. What does that due to?
Oh, well, you know, I think it's due to a number of factors. We have not been able to identify one specific driver for the reduction in our juvenile population at Lincoln Hills, but we've had some discussions around it, and I think a lot of it has to do with different decisions that the counties are making on how they want to manage their juvenile youth issues.
Where are you at with the closure of Lincoln Hills as we see, a number of these counties, Brown, Dane, Milwaukee, pulling back from their involvement in a plan to try to create smaller facilities as Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake is on a track to close?
Right. Well, I'm glad you asked that question because just last week, the Department of Corrections met with the counties involved and the Wisconsin Counties Association to discuss exactly where we are with the 185 and the CERCES, the Secure Residential Care Centers for Youth and Children. Now, for children and youth. Now, during our meeting, they expressed some concerns that I think really reflect gaps in the legislation that need to be addressed before they feel comfortable moving forward. For instance, some of the concerns they expressed were about startup costs for the facilities, potential operating losses, you know, the unrealistic timelines, and the lack of funding for the type ones and those issues. So the legislature had the opportunity to address these issues with a trailer bill that they passed last year, but didn't do so. And in October of last year, I submitted a request to the legislature, really to the Joint Finance Committee, for funding for the Type 1 facilities as anticipated by Act 185, and they declined to approve that funding request in February.
And explain what you mean by Type 1 facilities.
Well, a Type 1 facility is a facility that is intended to house and manage serious juvenile offenders.
So as you look at the situation with COVID and, you know, falling tax revenues, county, state budget extremely tight or in uncharted territory, what does that mean for the closure of Lincoln Hills?
Pardon?
So as we look at budgets...
I'm having trouble
here.
Sure.
That's okay. So as you look at the budget situation at the county level and at the state level and the falling revenue and falling tax revenue, what does that make for your plan to close Lincoln Hills, which is going to need a lot of startup revenue?
Well, obviously, revenues on both the state and the county levels have been impacted by the current pandemic, and how much impact that's having on the county's decisions to move forward with the services is really an unknown to me. That has not been identified by any of them as a specific reason why they are asking to defer. And I want to make a clarification. Of course, the counties involved in this in Act 185 are Milwaukee, Brown, Racine, and Dane. Racine County is moving ahead, and we're currently negotiating the necessary contracts with Racine County. Brown, Dane, and Milwaukee have all asked to defer their acceptance of the grant until some of these issues that I identified earlier are worked out.
Secretary Carr, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, Kate.
Kevin, take care. To you too. Kevin Carr, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. Coming up, we talk with a WPR reporter about private well water testing in southwestern Wisconsin and the continued work by scientists to trace contamination in private wells. That's after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.